This is a SIVA podcast, a series which is part of the exhibition Institution Building. Institution Building displays and questions the diverse elements of a museum, from the most visible parts, such as the exhibition, to the often unseen or hidden components, such as archive, administration, maintenance. The exhibition will grow week by week, with an institutional element added sequentially, presenting the institution as a cadavre exquis, an ever-changing organism constantly de- and reconstructing its raison d'être.
It's a pleasure to have Samia Henny with us. Hi, Samia.
Hello.
Samia Henny's work focuses on the intersections between the built environment, colonial measures, and military operations from, let's say, the 19th century until today. Her investigations of specific microhistories of planned dispossession, exploitation, and oppression disclose macro histories of colonialism, imperialism, and globalization. Her research into these special strategies of state control has culminated in a number of books, among others, Architecture of Counter-Revolution, The French Army in Northern Algeria, or also the edited volume War Zones, and not only in books, but it resulted also in exhibitions such as Discrete Violence, Architecture, and the French War in Algeria, which was shown in a number of cities like Zurich, Rotterdam, Berlin, Johannesburg, and so on. She teaches at the College of Architecture, Art, and Planning at Cornell University, and currently is on a fellowship in Marseille, where she looks deeply into archives. And our aim is to talk more specifically about collections and archives. The occasion is, in a way, our current exhibition here at SIVA Institution Building and the chapter on collection. Samia, what's the interesting thing about archives for you? How do you started being fascinated by archives?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to have this conversation with you. I was fascinated by the topic, and I think the topic brought me to work with and along and against archives. So when I started working on the housing projects that were built during the 1950s and 60s by the French colonial authorities in Algeria, I started searching for evidence, for plans, for photographs, for documents that are documenting, that are somehow representing the biographies of those settlements. So I started working with both since the 1950s and 60s was a moment of armed conflict. It was a war, it was a revolution, the Algerian Revolution. So I had to work with both institutional archives, civil archives, and military archives. And the confrontation of civil archives with military archives really opened my eyes and helped me to see that what was being said and what was being done and what was being broadcasted or represented to the world were almost like three narratives or three parallel histories that were happening. So I started to try to really create intersections between all these evidences. So the civil, the military, but also oral histories. And what I found then was that the, you know, this is maybe something very, very known, but at that time, since the architecture of the 1950s and 60s was mainly about Fernand Pouillon in Algeria and others who built and who responded to the scarcity of housing. But what I found in the archives was that they weren't only building settlements or housing, but also camps, but also walls, and they completely transformed the territory. So I started really opening up and trying to expand the notion of evidence or of archives, knowing that the archive per se, as Derrida said, you know, is the commencement and the commandment. So it's the beginning of something, but it's also the possibility or the impossibility in the case of a military history, because many stories were not there. They were completely absent. So I was fascinated or maybe really interested in trying to fill those gaps and trying to understand the absences in those institutional archives.
Yeah, regarding this absence of archives or evidence, it's interesting to look at the work that we show here at SIVA in Brussels, which is called It Wasn't a Secret, because apparently many archives are either not there or they are slightly secretive. Maybe you can explain a little bit how this project came about, what the context is.
Yeah, this is a very odd situation, I have to say. On January 1st, 2020, the current French authorities decided, I even can't find the words to explain this because it's really, really odd and weird and unprecedented as well. They classified already declassified archives, meaning that archives that were open to the public, accessible, became overnight inaccessible and closed. So really, those archives that served for the writing of architecture of counter-revolution, the French army in northern Algeria, today we can't have access to them. So that book cannot be written today. So even though many books have been written and exhibitions and articles and let's say narratives and histories have been already told on those moments and that kind of colonial violence, access to those documents are not accessible. So what I wanted to show, since I have been or I have taken photographs before January 1st, 2020, so those photographs are now part of my, I wouldn't say collection, but of my files. I worked on them. I you know, the information that are present in those archives are also have been circulating since books have been written on that. So it's not a secret. So if it's not a secret, why one has to close these documents? That, as we know, you know, there are lots of discussions about reparation, rehabilitation, restitutions. I think if we can't even have access to archives, if you can write these histories to build a better future, I think it's really difficult to have this conversation of restitution, rehabilitation, and reparation. So what I showed in I'm trying to show is to play a little bit with this legality, illegality. I took pictures of those archives before 1st of January 2020, and I'm showing it after they closed them, after they were closed to the public. So somehow I have them, and I worked on them, so they are legal, and I'm showing them in a way that one could understand or not understand the information that are being told on those documents. And the documents that have been closed, they are all stamped secret, top secret, confidential, and they were produced in the 1950s and 60s, at least in my case, but all the documents between 1940s, so the Second World War to the 1970s, they are all now closed, those who have a secret, top secret, and confidential. So the fact to show them today and to say, yes, but this information today are a secret, but yesterday they weren't a secret. What does it mean to play or to disobey to this authority of closing and opening, or opening and closing again? What does it mean? Like, how do we position ourselves toward the authority of archives, but also of someone who is saying, yes, you can write these histories. No, you cannot have this. You cannot write these histories, knowing that even if they say yes, you can write these histories, there are so many absences in those archives. So it's really about questioning this new law, and there has been lots of protests, petitions, panels, conversations about this, but the current French government is not listening to the right to history, or the right to writing histories of the past.
It's interesting because this is embedded in a broader discussion about archives, collections that are partly meant to be opened, and in the context of restitution debates, etc. So it seems to be very much at odds with what's going on in the broader cultural field, or let's say in the field of museums. And because there in museums, I feel that there is an increasing debate on the question of access, as you put it earlier, somehow foregrounding the question who writes these histories and who has access to the archives, who is dealing with these archives. Are these just exclusive groups of experts, say architectural historians in our case here at SIBA? But it seems as if there's a kind of need to have very different approaches, different voices, different people gaining access. What is your position here?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I think the interpretation of these archives are anyway very, very different. You know, it depends, you know, you do have, yes, collections, but then it depends who is writing those histories, what kind of questions one is asking, what kind of approaches one is taking, what kind of challenges one is also facing. So I think the archives as like one part of this process of history writing, history making. But the other part is like all these subjectivities or the agency of the authors or those who are writing. And of course, it's a collective process as well. We are writing always in conversation with others, you know, people who are still alive, but also people who left our world, but they have their own archives, meaning the books that they published and all the notes that they left to us also to really take all this into account. So I think the fact, at least in this very case, the fact, you know, to say that, you know, this declassified archives have to be classified from the Second World War to the 1970s, so meaning, you know, including, yeah, 1968, all these moments of fascism, of course, 1930s, colonial wars, of revolutions and counter-revolutions, what we call today also counter-insurgency. So for me, one of the explanations is that there are many things that have to be hidden maybe, or have to be kept away from the general public and the general opinion. And this is very dangerous. It's, for me, it means that there is no right to know what paid governments, and we should also think that these governments are also using the money of, you know, taxpayer, of the taxes, so they have they are responsible, but also they should respond to a accountability. You know, that they are elected human beings. So this kind of the of politics of archives, for me, it's very, very let's say relevant. It's important, and it's somehow we have to discuss it. Also, the archive per se, you know, who is collecting what is being kept, Where is it is being kept? Do we have an inventory? Do we know what these archives or what this archives as a building, you know, is keeping, is collecting? How do we have access to it? How do we create panels around this notion of commandment and commencement with many, many voices? Of course, the voices or those who are working on those archives, they are also claiming a, I wouldn't say territory, but claiming a right to ask certain questions. I think it's very important that we open up to different methodologies and different ways of approaching these witnesses or these evidences, knowing that there are many absences also in those evidences. It doesn't mean if something is not in the archive, it didn't happen. That's, of course, something that doesn't work this way. But what is in there, who is working on those documents, who is voicing what in that document, I think is very crucial.
Since this whole discussion also happens somehow in the context of this notion of decolonization, do archives have to be decolonized?
Yeah, I have some, let's say, issues with the term decolonization. You know, it's abused, of course, it's used everywhere. I think, you know, we can talk about decoloniality because it's really part of coloniality. You know, they are really, let's say, parallel. They work along one another. There is no coloniality, as Walter Mignolo said. There is no modernity, as Walter Mignolo said, without coloniality. So the project of modernity is a project of coloniality, and the decoloniality is part of this project of decolonizing even modernity. But I think it's very difficult to say that, yes, we can decolonize archives, because I think institutions are, by definition, at least in the way that are now, that they are created, and what and the aims that they are defending, they have still a number of colonial ramifications. You know, this colonial minds, processes, and mechanisms are also present in these in institutions in the West. That's for me very clear. We see it in the archives, we see it in publications, in discourses, in how do we relate with the other, not only in terms of humans, but also in terms of buildings, in terms of evidence. So I think that's one has to think of how can we open these to these archives or these institutions to different voices, but also competing voices, and how can we really empower anti-colonial discourses and anti-colonial practices that I think are really, really relevant to how we do, how we write, and how we curate exhibitions.
Thank you, Samia. This is seems as if I'm having a big job here to do at SIVA. I hope we can somehow address some of these issues that seem absolutely crucial to the future of archives. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I really appreciated this conversation.
You've been listening to a SIVA podcast.